Welcome to Mysteries to Die For, and this toe tag. I am T.G. Wolf, and I am here with Jack, my piano player and producer. This is normally a podcast where we combine storytelling with original music to put you at the heart of a mystery. Today is a bonus episode that we call a toe tag. It's an excerpt from a fresh release in the mystery, crime, and thriller genre. Today's featured release is The Machine Murders, Desert Balloons by C.J. Abazis. So, you know, I used to say that this was the first chapter from a fresh release, and last time I lamented that I had to change that because I frequently do not read the first chapter. So you notice that I did change it to excerpt, and once again, I'm not going to read the first chapter. So I really like finding the parts of the stories that introduce the mysteries to you. And today, that is in chapter 5 of the first part of the book. So just so you guys know the background here, the speaker is at a convention slash conference slash presentation. His name is Dr. Manos Manu. He is the chief data scientist of the Digital Forensics Lab at the Global Complex of Innovation and creator of the Multi-Agent Analysis of Network Units. I know that's a mouthful, right? But let me get over to the start of the chapter now. Okay, so here we go. Dear colleagues, he began, I would like to thank Dr. Novak for his kind introduction and to welcome our esteemed members of the global law enforcement community. Manos found May's presentation and double-clicked on the slideshow of images of the Mykonos victims. As many of you know, 1 month ago, Franz Hansen, a Cambridge University psychology professor, started abducting men and women vacationing on Mykonos, drugging them before placing them on the table of his luxury rental. With much effort and the help of a powerful harpoon gun, he threaded each of them from mouth to rectum with a fine chain, gradually introducing chains of wider gauge until reaching one of considerable thickness. To one end of the chain, he welded an anchor. In order to use the latter, the whole length of the chain, he attached a white buoy to the other end, onto which he spray-painted a single word, free. He then transported the corpse with the chain in a windsurf gear bag and sank it in the waters off the island. Hansen enacted this exact crime 5 times. Manos wanted to add that just as many, identical and during the same time frame, were submerged here at Sentosa and another in Florida, not to mention how many, undiscovered, God only knew where. But Novak had insisted there were only machine solutions, not machine murders. And yet, there were, and it was their job to find them. The Greek authorities immediately requested our assistance as part of the NIRT, he continued. Our team played an advisory role without jurisdiction. However, it was the first use of our multi-agent analysis of network units, created a few months ago. We isolated internet, phone, and social network users within the perimeter of the island, relying on the work of Professor Mohagen's team to identify dark triad properties that would indicate a serial killer in full operation. Manos scrolled, looking for a graph showing the base criteria for, quote, dark traits to display on a second stream. Initially, we built hundreds of parameters ourselves. These were, of course, feature engineered with libraries containing millions more. We used clustering and anomaly detection algorithms, developing new matrix multiplication techniques and generative models on the fly. We also incorporated the first large language models then available, and a combination of transformers and a variety of models, such as graph network analysis. We then ran them. The neural networks delivered something absolutely new, a list of suspects based on the online interaction of the Mykonos visitors during that period. We were lucky. We had expert knowledge in the field and, Manos hesitated, and human intuition. Our first list of suspects identified users, especially when we ran the identifications using record linkage, fuzzy matching, and supervised learning algorithms. We located Hansen before he could strike again, and Working with the local Greek authorities, we neutralized him. Troubled, May stared at the renovated floor. Novak was gripping the armrests of his new seats. Manos turned to the ultra-modern screens behind him. At a considerable price, he added. But the seasoned leaders in the audience, having seen many crimes and innocent victims during their careers, were interested only in algorithms. Manos felt his heart skip a beat as he thought of Lena Sedaris, Hansen's final murder. But the memory faded as he looked for a slide showing the scattered diagram of hybrid models, thinking, the exploit behind all of this is out there somewhere. Returning to Singapore, he continued, his back to the slides, we reverse engineered, among other things, the timelines and the devices of the killers, or the killer. We use basic NLP techniques, especially BM25, tokenization, stemming, everything. Finding a direct match in the features engineered, we successfully correlated his actions to our weighted parameters. So yes, the killer had personality traits rendering him capable of such a crime to a high degree. But we noticed something more. He himself had been continually confronted with an adversarial network of targeted content that drove him to ultimately commit it, and commit it in precisely this way, and no other. A wave of whispers rolled towards the podium. Our first question was whether the developers of this influence malware, if you will, had relied on some of the same parameterization as Paulhaus and Mosshagen's Dark Triad, or if a separate ontology had been created. We found that these exploits indeed had precise knowledge of the latest scores in psychological research, but they were even smarter. In the training stage of the models, their transformers were made to choose individuals not only with certain predisposition, but also those who had already decided to commit a crime. These weren't general murder exploits potentially more easily detected, but prompt exploits, literally dictating the next steps. For the first time, real attacks, actual crimes, seemed to stem from cyber attacks, he said. In other words, a single developer in some corner of the world, or developers, whether together or scattered virtually anywhere, are manipulating online networks, using generative content to target those with specific characteristics. We then asked why advertising or social media filters didn't detect them. The simple answer is, they can't. Defense learners are powerful, but the developers didn't push anything political or overtly harmful. They promoted things like anchors and buoys, murder stories, and the importance of free will. But these things can't be algorithmically correlated. Defenses against such things didn't exist, since it had never been attempted. The people behind these influence campaigns weren't selling political candidates or laundry detergent. They were orchestrating murders. The room became noticeably uneasy. Novak wore an urgent expression, practically begging him to wrap up. Manos went on. In the last 3 months, Meta alone has taken down billions of accounts. They have great compute, but they're fighting against impossible odds. My colleagues and I are thrilled when a network or company announces they're hiring staff, spending money, taking measures and writing code to tackle fake accounts. But the fact is that most of the generative tools are out there. That genie can't go back in the bottle. We could shift to completely different technologies, but that would take decades. At this time, anyone with compute and enough determination can create fake photos and videos more realistic than reality. They can create profiles, craft life stories, generate new content, and name it all algorithmically, even if they have to make purchases in cash or by credit via the dark web. Then they wait to see what happens. It's a numbers game, a game we are losing. Cringing in his seat, Daniel Novak's face now bore a mixture of anguish and resignation. He wasn't alone. Almost the entire audience looked desperate. Mano scrolled the film strip of May's presentation on the touchscreen, coming to the point he wanted on the last slide. He looked into the audience. Any questions? Chapter 6. So I'm going to go ahead and read Chapter 6. Interpol may have been the closest thing to a vast United Nations of law enforcement, but the business card Manos collected after his presentation were completely uniform in size, font, paper, quality, and all in English. Only the names and organizations varied. National Security Department of India, Europol, Australian Federal Police, Interpol National Office of so-and-so and such-and-such, National Bureau of this and that, Metropolitan Police, French Ministry of Justice. Tired of shaking hands and collecting identical cards, Manos wondered if they weren't a department of identical purchase orders, but he knew it was even more sinister. Conformity bias. "Here's an idea," someone said behind him, making him hope he hadn't been thinking out loud. "Why don't you give Interpol a rest and check out what the boys are doing back home?" A New Jersey accent, Manos thought. "Michael Perez, BAU. Offices in Virginia," Manos recalled. Perez handed him another identical card. "Oh," Manos said with a little laugh, "it's great here." "Not sick of sushi?" Perez said. "It's ramen," Manos replied. "And I'm Manos Manu." "Everyone knows you," Perez chuckled. "HR needs a few slaps upside the head with forensic gloves. The best talent always slips through our fingers." "I never considered applying to the Bureau," he said. "No need to," Perez told him. "The General told me about you. He'd like your help." "Ahmed Al-Razi, President of Interpol." "Sounds great," Manos said, "but now's not a good time. The system needs rewriting, some weights are all wrong, a number of parameters need replacing. The team will be working in sprints." "Dr. Manu," said Perez, color rising in his cheeks. He did not seem accustomed to being challenged. "Do you not wish to serve your country?" Manos waited a beat and then said, "I live abroad." "Not even with your own organization?" he prompted. "We must complete the system," Manu said. "Or even, from what I hear, your girlfriend?" Perez asked. It was now Manos who felt his face grow hot. "I serve the data." "Oh, Dr. Manu, we have plenty of that," Perez snickered, a smile spreading to his chubby cheeks. Manos hoped his own smile was polite, but he could feel himself twitching. Waving from across the room towards his office, Novak was not lost his desperate expression. Manos knew that something had gone very wrong. Okay, we're going to stop there. So that gives you a little bit of backstory, a little bit of information into what the machine murders are, and then you have the introduction of our mystery. So here is my review. The Machine Murders, Desert Balloons is a serial killer story. Death has again found Interpol Chief Data Scientist Dr. Manos Manu. Hot air balloon pilots are being murdered in the United Arab Emirates, frozen to death high above the earth. Manos is dispatched to Dubai to support analysis by a software that he led the creation of. But to generate correct answers, the software needs data. Data that hides in the dark traits of men. Bottom line, The Machine Murders, Desert Balloons is for you if you love high-tech code nearly as much as you love mysteries. All right, so let's talk about the strengths of the story. The greatest strength of the story is the expert detail presented in the development, testing, and augmentation of the machine learning systems. In his day job, our author, CJ Abesis, runs a software company, and his expertise shines through here. The Machine Murders isn't typical high-level use of IT that's common in shows like NCIS or Criminal Minds. Instead, the program itself is as rich a character as any of the humans, and the language is true to life. Much of the story is set in the Emirates. I found it to be a new and fresh scene with texture and depth that supplemented the mystery. The juxtaposition of uber high tech with traditional Arab culture made for a fascinating read. I can't comment on how accurate the representation of the culture was, just that it was well developed and added to the story. The Machine Murders is structured as an extended story told in two parts. The first, Island Buoys, kicks off the story of Dr. Manos Manu and the use of machine learning models to hunt for a killer. The second, this story, called Desert Balloons, picks up shortly after the end of the first. Now, I have not read the first. The author does introduce the continuing Interpol characters and the software basics to new readers. I do wonder, however, if the machine learning part would have been easier to follow if I had first read The Island Buoys. The passage that I read you gives you some of the backstory and the language about what had happened in the first book, so it's a good synopsis, but the tech part still, I think I would have liked better or understood better if I'd read the first. Okay, so how does the logic stand up from the finish looking back? The result is fair. So this is a mystery where the solution isn't driven by testimony or evidence. The machine does the reasoning, using the additional information that Manos identifies. So we as the reader aren't privy to the action or the history of the suspects to be able to assess the logic of the solution, and as such, we have to rely on the results from the computer as being correct. Manos does confront the killer and gives the readers a satisfying end that the guilty party was found. I, however, was left with questions. Overall, the pacing of the story did well to hold my attention. There were a few sections where I didn't follow the change from one scene to another. While these ultimately did not affect the outcome of the story, I was pulled out of it as I had to go back to read. The thriller elements were really well done, written to align with the main character, who is a chief data scientist. So Manos is using his brains rather than his fist to fight the way out of situations. So let's talk about some of the detractions that kept it from maybe being an ideal story. While the greatest strength of the story is the detail of the machine learning, it was also the element that makes it less than accessible for some readers, myself included. Being an average technology end user at best, I simply could not follow the directions given to modify the code or appreciate the results it generated. So for those of you who really live in the IT world or that is your passion, I think you're going to love this book. It's really written for you. For those of us who are a little bit more generalist, I think we're probably going to learn more than we ever wanted to know. The Machine Murders Desert Balloon is a unique mystery world for making the software itself a main character, and it's a must-read for lovers of machine learning, artificial intelligence, and systems programming. The Machine Murders Desert Balloons was released recently and is promoted by Partners in Crime Book Tours. It's available from Amazon and other book retailers with links in the show notes. Our author, CJ Abazes, I apologize for CJ, I'm sure I've butchered your name a couple of times. He manages a software company in Athens, Greece. His machine murder stories were written in Greek and translated to English. You can find out more about the stories on CJ's website and social media. With that, let me tell you a little bit about Partners in Crime Tours. They represent a network of 300 bloggers offering tailor-made virtual book tours and marketing options for crime, mystery, and thriller writers from around the world. Founded in 2011, PICT offers services for well-established and best-selling authors, as well as those of us just starting out their careers. PICT prides itself on its tailored packages with a personal touch from tour coordinators. For more information, check out their website, Partners in Crime Tours. The link is in the show notes. Join us next week for episode 12 of season 7, Games People Play. Tarot cards are the featured game in A Terrifying End by me, T.G. Wolfe. All right, Jack, take us out.